Gordy Chiesa with us here at the Bill and OC Show through almost 48 hours of crazy free agency. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How you feeling?
We're feeling all right. I know you've been following all these transactions with a lot of interest. Who's getting better fastest right now in free agency?
Milwaukee Bucks. They did a great job. It worked out great for them. They signed Greg Monroe, a big-time player, age 25, and they added Gravis Vasquez, who's really a clever backup point guard to help Michael Carter-Williams, and then they got another shooter in Caron Butler. So they did a great job. The Bucks way played out, and the Memphis Grizzlies got what they needed. They can Matt Barnes, age 35, but still can defend, make timely threes, and Brandon Wright to give him another big man in case they lose Kostas-Kufis. And my last one was very interesting, was the Clippers. You know, they're knocking on the playoff championship. They lost that killer game 7. They added Paul Pierce for one more run, and he added a wild card player, but I think in that system he'll play well, in the Lance Stephenson.
Coach, I want to ask you about Milwaukee real fast. You mentioned them doing well. Milwaukee's not too dissimilar to Utah, smallish market. It's not exactly a destination city. Why is Milwaukee doing well here? Why does a Greg Monroe want to go play there? Is it the Jason Kidd factor? What's luring people to go to play in Milwaukee?
Yeah, Jason Kidd is a huge factor, meaning him being the head coach and his cachet as far as around the league. And also, you have some really good young players in the Greek Freak and in Chris Middleton, who they re-signed, who's a very good player, and in Michael Carter-Williams, is developing his game. So they've got two pass-heavy point guards in Vasquez and Michael Carter-Williams. They have the major young talent in Antetokounmpo, and now they added Greg Monroe, a low post scoring threat. So they're right there now.
We're seeing the rigmarole that LaMarcus Aldridge is going through right now, as he's got like an itinerary of dinner with Pat Riley, but another meeting with the Lakers. Does Tim Duncan deciding to come back help or hurt San Antonio's chance of landing LaMarcus Aldridge? Because 2 days ago, it sounded like they were in the lead to get him.
Yeah, and they still are. Duncan announced he's coming back during the day today. It helps them. Yeah, because playing with Duncan for at least 1 year, maybe Ginobili for 1 year, will help the transition, and they signed a Kawhi Leonard, you know, to the extension, so it makes sense for them to get him, and it helps them a lot. Yes, it does. It does very much.
Is San Antonio the front runner, Coach, for yes. Aldridge, in your opinion, right now? And if they're one, who's the next most likely team? I know your friend Jeff Hornacek in Phoenix has made a play for him. Does Portland have a chance? What's your guess?
Well, my guess is 1, the Suns, and 2, the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas is still in play for him, yes.
Dallas seems to be in play for a number of people. Wes Matthews,
DeAndre
Jordan, and also LaMarcus Aldridge. Do you have a feeling, will they get any one of those, or do you think they could whiff and strike out on all of those?
No, I think they can get definitely 1, if not 2, in their world. Because that's the power of Dallas is really they're somewhat starting over, somewhat, and these guys would be the main focal point right now. They lost Tyson Chandler to the Phoenix Suns, and that really set them back. And they moved on from Monte Ellis, and they moved on from Alfredo Mino, who's actually an underrated player. So in their world, Dallas, you know, is competitive. They have to get 1 of those 3 guys, if not 2 of those 3 guys.
Gordy Chiesa is our guest here on ESPN 700. Follow him on Twitter at GChiesa. Oh, my. So, Damian Lillard, guy who played his college basketball at Weber State, gets a max money deal, $125 million. Portland spending their money in the right place there, Coach?
Oh, very much. Absolutely. He's an all-star type player. He's the face of the franchise. They couldn't not give it to him, with possibly Aldridge moving on to another team. And so they had to do that, and they did. And it makes a lot of sense. Now, they traded in free agency. They're adding right now Gerald Henderson, underrated player. I mentioned a few seconds ago, Alfred Amino is going to take the place of Nicholas Batum. Noah Vonleh, who's got talent, who was underserved with Charlotte, and he added Mason Plumlee. So if, in case they lose Lopez to go to the Knicks. So Lillard's the face of the franchise. It's only second to Anthony Davis, where the Pelicans gave Davis that max contract, no fooling around, which means that no more next summer OCM bill, where maybe if he was a free agent next summer, where's he going as far as restricted? Would he go to Lakers? Would he go to New York? Now it's cut in stone. He's staying in New Orleans, and so is Damian Lillard staying in Portland.
The Utah Jazz have done nothing yet in free agency, Coach. Two guys' names that we heard a little bit about early in the week were Paul Millsap. Is he going to be coming back? Is he not going to be coming back? Well, he's not, and I know that your club, the Orlando Magic, were in on Paul for a while. Also, the name we heard prominently, and these things get floated out there by a lot of different people, but was Danny Green. Danny Green elected to stay with the San Antonio Spurs, which is hard to argue. Do you get a sense the Jazz are serious players in free agency right now, or are they just kind of staying the course with what they have?
Well, they're gonna try to attempt to look at someone like Marco Bellinelli. So he's still out there right now, so he could be out there. He could be, you know, people like shooters, and the Jazz really love shooters, so he would be out there, and it makes sense if they can get him for relatively. Relatively low numbers. Now, the way the rules are, the cap is going to be roughly, Bill, mid-level exception is going to be $5.4 million. That's the mid-level exception. So most veteran shooters, that's the starting point. It's like $5.4 million. So he'll be out there, and it could make sense. And if the Jazz want to go a guard, a point guard, then out there could be Norris Cole, C.J. Watson, Jeremy Lin, they're out there also. As far as Aaron Brooks, they're out there if they don't believe that Trey Burke is their guy.
Coach, Utah basketball fans are probably going to have more of an eye on the Toronto Raptors than they ever have, because former Jazz man Damari Carroll just signed a big deal, and obviously they also drafted DeLon Wright last week. Damari Carroll getting $15 million a year. His salary bumps up. The average yearly salary for that guy is now double almost what he's made in his entire career. Did he earn that kind of a number? Is that an overspend or a reach by Toronto?
It's we all like him. That's a lot of money, $15 million. But here's what happened. Him was a perfect storm. The Raptors got swept in the first round of the playoffs, 4-0. So they didn't want to give the money to Amir Johnson, who moved on. So the extra money they could have signed someone else. They gave all the money to get Damari Carroll away from Atlanta, and he's a two-way player. And you know, former Jazz people had a great run this week. Bill and OC, Paul Millsap and Damari Carroll. What fun for those guys! They had an unbelievable week. It shows you that, and Wes Matthews also have a great. Wes Matthews, I just add to this for one second, is that we're talking $15 million, and he has a ruptured Achilles right now. Oh, see, can you imagine this? You getting paid on future dollars with an injury right now?
That doesn't happen in my sport, Coach.
So, really, three former Jazz players, and all three of those guys, every Jazz fan liked. I mean, all three of those guys were good. They were good players, but the game kept on evolving in a positive way. And for these guys, for the last 2 days, and for Wes Matthews coming up next few days, it's an unbelievable once in a lifetime.
Has anything shocked you, Gordy? I know that when you're in this as long as you are, things tend not to shock anymore. But were you caught off guard, perhaps, by any of the contracts that you heard about this week?
Yeah. Well, Tyson Chandler, I give the Phoenix Suns credit. I thought that he was going to go possibly to the Knicks, you know, because they kept on talking about him and Greg Monroe pairing together, but the Phoenix Suns swooped in and got him, and that's very impressive because the Suns, you know, their big men are way behind as far as their big men. So Alex Len, you like, but he's injury-prone. The young guy from Ukraine, a young Lithuanian guy via Maryland Terrapins, so they added Tyson Chandler and he added John Lohr, who's a shooter, He just traded about 2 hours ago Marcus Morris and his contract and Danny Granger and Reggie Bullock, which tells me that they're trying to clear some more space to get someone else. You mentioned before about possibly LaMarcus Aldridge. We'll see if that plays out that way.
As we wait for that LaMarcus Aldridge domino to fall, are we looking at, Coach, a potential era where the San Antonio Spurs see Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan retire and replace them with Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge as the next generation of superstars? And they locked up Danny Green for a while. I mean, are the Spurs going to somehow, now for the third iteration of greatness, not skip a beat?
Correct. That's exactly right. That's their game plan. And they could pull it off because of just their smartness and the Spurs way, I'll call it. Danny Green took a hometown discount. So did one-time Ginobili a few years ago, and so did Tim Duncan. He took it already, and he might take it again for next year. So Danny Green, who we all love, is a good three-point shooter. He's a good defensive player, and he's a resident good guy. He signed for less than $11 million a year. I think it was $11 million average, and that he could have got a few more million per year. Again, it's a lot of money, but in the big picture, you can make a discussion point that Danny Green's more valuable than Damari Carroll, and Damari Carroll got $15 million a year. So the Spurs, they get it. They understand that they value economics, but the players understand they're willing to take a few less dollars to play on a winning situation.
How many games does Dwayne Wade have to play to justify 1 year, $20 million?
Well, he hasn't played more than 70 games for the last 4 years. So his body's breaking down, and the reason why he's such an airborne player. The more times you airborne in the game and you come down cumulative times all those years, is that you take a lot of hard falls. So the answer is, yeah, he has to play, and they're hoping minimum 70 games versus the 82. That'd be great in their world, because it's already been a benchmark. 70 games is the most he's played the last 4 years.
Morty, what does it say about the Lakers and the Knicks that nobody seemingly wants to take their money and go there?
Yeah, very much. Hooray for the small market teams. I love it. Yeah, the answer is yes, that they're the Knicks are a lot more disarray than the Lakers. Yeah, the answer is yes. It says a whole bunch that the top players, they want to get paid, but they do realize that this is about winning and that this is a hard thing to do in the NBA if you only have yourself and another player. You need more than that. So that's what it says, that the top players value winning. And those top players, they understand that they only have a short shelf life. So whether it's Marc Gasol, whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge out there, or DeAndre Jordan out there, is that those three guys, they value winning, and they're able to not take the allure of New York or Lakers.
So let me clarify this. The Milwaukee Bucks are able to draw talent to Milwaukee because of the cachet of a guy like Jason Kidd and because they have some young talent, but Phil Jackson's collection of rings and Derek Fisher can't get people to go play in New York.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And again, it's the ability to connectivity. Like Jason Kidd-type players, there's a connectivity between him and the players in the league. So they remember when he was pass happy as a point guard, and they perceive him as a coach, which is absolutely true. He's done a good job without overcoaching. And so around the league, especially big guys, they know that if he's the head coach of a team, that if I'm a big guy in a game, I'm going to get the ball most often.
Gordy, get out your crystal ball for me for just a second. You got that Gordy Chiesa crystal ball sitting right in front of you there?
Yes, I do.
All right. Give our listeners where you think LaMarcus Aldridge ends up and the first name that may be available or the Jazz add in free agency.
Okay, LaMarcus Aldridge will finish up in San Antonio.
Okay. His home state. He's a Texan.
Yeah.
And give our listeners a name you think could be a very real possibility The Jazz obviously aren't going after any Tier 1 or really Tier 2 free agents, so who might they have their eyes set on? Because surely they'll add somebody.
Correct. Yes, they will. Again, I'm going to go with Marco Bellinelli.
Okay.
Because they value shooting.
Dennis Lindsay, maybe with some sort of Spurs tie with Marco Bellinelli?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. They value shooting. And, Bill, you and I talked about that during the draft. And OC, both of us, we all talked about during the draft about taking a shooter. And Bellinelli's out there, and he's a good player. And now they with Spurs re-signed Danny Green. So they're sort of the same position, you know, with sort of, you know, carry over. So he'll be out there, and he's valued. Everybody likes him in the league.
Coach, you have a list for us today?
Yeah, I do. I have a half baker's dozen, OC, of the greatest free agent signings.
All right,
number seven. This guy led. This guy in 2004 signed with this team. He helped them win two NBA titles, and he made. They call him Big Shot Bob, Robert Horry with the Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
Great signing with them. All right, number six. This guy signed with this team. Before I tell you the team, he was MVP of the league. He's heading to the Hall of Fame. He just recently retired. Steve Nash of the Phoenix Suns. Number five, this guy signed in 2002, two NBA finals, one NBA championship, and he was really a terrific two-way player, Chauncey Billups. Number four, 1981, long time ago, he's famous, two straight NBA MVPs, led the NBA in rebounding, 1983 World Championship. Moses Malone left the Rockets and signed with the 76ers. All right, number three. Everybody loves this guy. He went from the ABA and signed with the 76ers, where he's one of the all-time greatest players and most beloved players. He was a perennial All-Star in 1983, led him to the championship also, Dr. J. All right, number two. Three titles in 4 years with the Lakers. He left Orlando Magic to sign with the Lakers, Shaquille O'Neal. And the number one greatest ever free agent signing was the decision. Four NBA finals, two titles with the Heat, LeBron James.
Great list as always, Coach, and great insight on all this that's going on in NBA free agency. Appreciate you taking the time. Have a happy 4th of July.
Yeah, happy. I mean, in my world, OC, there's five games starting on July 4th here in Orlando. We host the Summer League, and the Jazz Summer League obviously starts on Monday. But there's 10 teams down here. So July 4th, OC, when you're grilling at your new house, I'll be in the gym from 9 o'clock in the morning till about 10 o'clock at night.
Well, hopefully at 10 o'clock you can walk outside and at least see a couple of fireworks going off, Coach. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. See you, Bill.
See you, Coach. Give Scott Skiles our best.
Yes, I will.